Good afternoon, and welcome back to Intrepid Radio, this special Saturday edition as we record of Intrepid Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick. I have been a fan and a customer of this company for quite a while now, and I have I've had a lot of fun paying attention to what this guy we're about to talk to has been up to and watching this company grow and evolve. So I'm really, really pleased to have a chance to connect with him and get him on the show. Say hello to Mike Dubin. He is the founder and CEO of DollarShaveClub.com. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you again for carving out a few minutes to spend with me on this holiday Saturday afternoon. Mike, before we get into the story behind DollarShaveClub.com, take a quick sec. Tell the audience a little bit about you and your background.
Sure. I spent the early part of my career in media. I started off as a page at NBC. Then I went and did some news writing and production for MSNBC News before leaving and getting into marketing and brand development.
Outstanding. Well, DollarShaveClub.com, what's it all about? What's your mission, purpose? How do you serve your market?
Sure. So it's pretty simple. So for a couple bucks a month, we ship razors right to our members' doors. The idea was born out of my own frustration with going to the store and buying overpriced brand name razors. You know, guys like things easy, and there's no reason why we should have to schlep to the store and spend 25 minutes there finding the razor fortress and then going to the checkout counter and paying, you know, 20 bucks for a couple pieces of metal and plastic. So you know, the idea was born out of my frustration. We launched DollarShaveClub.com in March of 2012.
March 2012. Okay, so gosh, let me just tell you the legitimate truth here. The main reason I wanted to get you on the show was to publicly thank you for the shave butter. I think that's my favorite freaking shave tool and supply I've ever had in my life. I absolutely love that stuff. It's great. I love the concept. This idea of started this out of my own frustration. I mean, is that the genesis of most entrepreneurial ventures? I mean, isn't that how a lot of problems are solved by entrepreneurs? Is someone saying, boy, I have a problem. The solution provided by the market is unsatisfactory. I'm going to figure out a way to do it differently and better. I mean, is that the genesis of most entrepreneurial opportunity?
I would say it's the genesis of most very successful entrepreneurial opportunities. It's not to say that you can't have success, you know, doing other things, but, you know, I think where you observe a frustration, where you observe a problem, you're going to, you know, have a lot of success if you can find a, you know, an appropriate solution to that problem. You know, we like to say, or I like to say that, you want to be in the painkiller business, not in the vitamin business, so to speak. I mean, it's not to say that you can't open a great brick oven pizza restaurant in town, and have a lot of success. But, more people are thinking about the problems they have than what's missing from a town kind of thing.
Yeah, the idea of what you're doing here with this, Mike, of for a few bucks a month sending good quality razors to my doorstep. I mean, it's such a freaking obvious idea, and it's added to a long list of products and companies that you forehead smack yourself and you say, why the hell didn't I think of that? I mean, I'm harping on this show here because I want the audience to pay attention to the fact that sometimes you might have some intuition or instinct may say, boy, you know, this may be a goofy idea, but maybe it makes me billions. You know, I mean, it's fascinating to me. Why do you think DollarShaveClub.com has been so successful? I mean, is it the value instead of spending 20 bucks on a few pieces of metal and some plastic? Or is it, I mean, let's just be perfectly straight here. The viral video that kind of launched this thing, and I'll be the first to admit, it's what exposed me to you and your company and what made me an instant customer. I mean, what was the big push that made Dollar Shave Club so successful?
I think what I think is the source of our success is, well, it's really not one thing. It's a combination of things. It's value, it's convenience, and it's fun. And those are things that guys really appreciate. You know, we're not a really complicated gender. We like things affordable, easy, and fun. And we do that. So we've got a great product, great products, at great prices. You don't even have to think about them showing up to your door, and that's only going to get easier. And then we have a bit of fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously. If you watch that video, or you look at the video we did for our One Wipe Charlies, which is our butt wipe for men. This is like, we don't take ourselves too seriously at all. We're just out to have a good time and make guys happy.
Well, how important was that video? I mean, I imagine at this stage, it's been a year and a half roughly since the company launched. You're probably tired of talking about it, just like Rick Springfield's probably tired of singing Jesse's Girl, but you got to do it. I mean, the video, it was so, I mean, look, I've watched that thing a dozen times now. I watched it again today and thinking about our conversation today, and I still laughed my ass off watching the thing. I mean, are people still talking about it? Is it still driving business for you?
I think what the video does for us is it really concisely and quickly makes the point about what our business is all about. And obviously with humor, and humor is a very effective tool in delivering a message. People tend to remember things when they have a visceral reaction to something, making somebody laugh, making somebody cry. Obviously we didn't want to make people cry, so we chose humor. It's a really simple story told quickly, and with humor. And I think that, when you get to the homepage of our site and you're confronted with that video, it just makes all the sense in the world. And so it's been a great piece for us. Yes.
How important, you mentioned at the top of the show, background in media and digital marketing, and you did a lot of work in video. I mean, how important was that background? And the resume includes some organizations of some real significance in international brands. I mean, how important was that work or that background in contributing to your knowledge and understanding and instinct behind creating a video of that magnitude? I guess what I'm really trying to get at, Mike, is can some common bloke off the street sit down with an iPhone camera and make a video that has an impact to a marketplace similar to what that video had for you?
Yeah, so I consider myself a creative professional. Above all else, I'm a writer. I'm a thinker. I'm certainly okay at the numbers. You know, you have to be if you're gonna run a business. I won't lie. I have some help there. I as a creative professional have always gravitated towards creative industries, and whether that was the media. And entertainment when I was with NBC, or leaving there and going to work for bigger brands, developing content and advertising for them. So the experience of bringing your ideas to life was I got that experience in my 10-year career before I started Dollar Shave Club, which helped me hone my creative instincts and get better at it. So yeah, I think that those experiences were absolutely instrumental in the success of Dollar Shave Club.
So let's take that a step further. You called yourself twice in that last answer a creative professional and said you tapped into your creative instincts. Is that, how important is that for the rest of us when we plowed out a life course of wanting to launch our own entrepreneurial venture? I mean, is that a critical element now? I mean, is that what the business schools ought to be teaching now? Is not business, the traditional business knowledge that you get at a school, but that ability to understand digital content and how to play that and how to tap into that and how to leverage that? I mean, how important is that to the modern business guy?
I think there's a few things there. Number one, I think business schools do a great job of teaching people how to run businesses smartly, understand industries, take a look at opportunity, and you know, develop marketplaces. You know, ultimately, you can't sit down and teach somebody raw creativity. You can hone someone's creativity if you're a writer, you know, a copywriter. You can figure out, you know, you can seek out an education that teaches you how to make better write better copy. If you're a designer, you know, or an architect, or you know, some type of you know, visual artist, there are places you can go to seek out an education on that. Ultimately, you know, smart business, you know, businesses that are going to be successful share a few things in common, and one of them is you know, access to you know, creative professionals that can help you in a couple different areas. One of them is certainly storytelling. If you have a great product, you have a great service, you know, you could be a woodworker. You could be a brick oven pizza maker. I love brick oven pizza. That's why I mentioned that twice. But you can be a woodworker. You can be a brick oven pizza maker. And ultimately, you're going to need, you know, you might be great at that. That's your craft. But ultimately, if you're going to get people to try your business or buy your product, you're going to need a good storyteller. So whether that's you or somebody else, you know, whether that's you or somebody else in that you hire in your organization or outsource a freelancer or a third party, yeah, you're going to need a creative storyteller. If you're building a web business, you know, you're going to need somebody who's a creative designer to do your website, a technical person, which can be very creative as well to find solutions there. So, you know, you don't have to be you know, that just happens to be my particular skill set. I'm a brand thinker. I'm a creative thinker. You know, I'm a copywriter, and I know how to communicate ideas. You know, so that's what I bring to the table among other things. But you know, somebody else can. You know, you don't have to be that for your business to be successful. Not at all. You just got to go out and find it.
If you can't do it, you got to find someone who can partner with you. Now, but you also studied improv. Did I read that correctly? I mean, it's just another example, Mike. I mean, I'm a business partner of mine just finished an improv class of his own, and it's really had an amazing impact on his communication skills. I guess I have to ask this question since I'm obviously driving down the path here of the importance of creativity and communications. I mean, is that something that enables the modern business person to really hone the skills of creativity and storytelling and obviously thinking quickly on their feet? I mean, is that something someone ought to be thinking about if they want to be serious as an entrepreneur?
No, not at all. I mean, improv is a wonderful exercise. It helps, you know, think on your feet. It helps you tap into a side of yourself that you don't access every day. And that can be a wonderfully, you know, rewarding process. And yes, it can help you, you know, it can help you, become a better, you know, discoverer of ideas within people, to put them in a position to improvise and creating a safe space to create. You know, so a lot of the principles of improv can help you in your business life, but it's certainly not required. I would recommend doing it because I think it's really fun. I think it challenges you to step out of your comfort zone and do something different. But yeah, I mean, it's helpful, not required.
When I mentioned online that you and I were going to be talking on this show, I was actually very pleasantly surprised at how many people in my circle were familiar with you and the company, and how many were actually customers, and some wanted to thank you also for the shave butter and the butt wipes. But I was surprised to learn that this was actually your second successful entrepreneurial venture. Talk about. Let's shift up to 10,000 feet here and look down on being an entrepreneur. Talk about some of the key lessons that you've learned, and talk about some of the mistakes you've made that you can impart to others and help demonstrate to them what they can be doing to make their entrepreneurial venture more successful.
Sure. So one of the first things that I have learned over the years is you've got I think being an entrepreneur is really a personality type, and so it brings up an important question. You know, are you an entrepreneur? Not everybody is, you know, and there's a couple characteristics of the entrepreneur. You got to be, you know, you got to believe in yourself. You have to be a little bit stubborn. You have to, people are going to tell you throughout your journey that your idea is bad, that it'll never work, that you should just, you know, get a safe job. And these are all things that people told me with Dollar Shave Club. But when you're an entrepreneur, you have to see it through. You don't have a choice. It's like you're just pulled towards it and nothing's going to stop you because you're just so darn excited about building something. The first is, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you an entrepreneur by nature? And if you are, there's in any number of things that you know I would recommend doing. I'll tell you, you know, one of the most important things that I learned, which is actually a lesson I learned from my father, from my father's failure in one particular area, is be really honest with yourself about what you know you can do and what you can't do. And what you know and what you don't know, and going out and filling the void of your weakness with strength of others. My dad was an attorney for many years, and you know, he never hired any partners for his firm. He was a one-man show because he never thought anybody could do the job as well as he could. And you know, what he ended up doing was burning himself out, and probably not being honest with himself about what he didn't know that might have allowed him to do, you know, better work for more clients. And so I was always very honest with myself what I can do, what I can't do, and going out and finding that help and getting that help. You really have to take the ego out of it. You can't be afraid to ask for help because you'll fall down pretty quickly.
Yeah, but does that jive? I appreciate you saying stubbornness is actually a good trait for an entrepreneur. My wife would certainly say that I'm a stubborn fellow. She might not say I'm a great entrepreneur, but why is that so important? A stubborn attitude, a stubborn personality. Why is that good for an entrepreneur?
Well, I think in the early days, like I said, you're going to be confronted with a lot of naysayers. If you're truly starting from scratch and you just have a good idea, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that say, you know, like, take the restaurant industry, for example. Everybody always says, oh, restaurants are the worst investment ever. Don't bother. Go do something else. You know, and, you know, they have a 90% failure rate. But like, drive down a street and there's tons of successful restaurants that have been there for years. Like, it works. But everybody's going to tell you don't do it. So if you really have a good restaurant idea, you're going to have to be stubborn. You're going to have to tell a lot of people that they don't know what they're talking about, that you've got the game plan for success. So I think stubbornness just kind of helps you tune out the noise, the naysayers, as you initiate the process.
Yeah, got it. All right. So, you know, what's the future path for Mike Dubin, the entrepreneur? I mean, is and maybe you don't know the answer to this question yet. I mean, are you the kind of guy, and let me ask you a two-part question. What's Mike Dubin's path, and what is your view of the typical entrepreneur? I mean, are you the kind of guy that's going to say, okay, Dollar Shave Club is where it's at, and I'm going to focus, and I'm going to stay long-term with this and continue to make it better? Or is the typical entrepreneur the kind of person that says, I can't help but just continue to try new things and start new companies and try to solve more problems? What's your path, and what do you think is the common path with an entrepreneurial soul?
Well, I can't say what the path is for me beyond DSC right now. It takes all of my energy and thinking to think about what the next 5 years look like for Dollar Shave Club, and You know, I'm really excited about that. I've got a lot of things that I want to do with that business. So look, if that turns out to be a 25-year journey or longer, I'm totally happy with that. If other opportunities present themselves, I will certainly take advantage of them as I can. But you know, right now I'm super focused on building the best company I can for myself and for my shareholders and our 40 employees. So, you know, that's the focus for me. And, you know, I think entrepreneurship is a lifelong, you know, to answer your second question, a lifelong journey. I think, you know, if you're the kind of person that likes to start things, to cull from the universe great ideas and bring them into life and bring them to life, that's something you're going to be doing your entire life, whether you're doing whether it's a business or a nonprofit, you know, in education. I think that the personality type that knows how to take an idea, bring it to life, it will be doing that in one shape or form for their entire life.
40 employees. How many did you have when you made that initial video? It was like two, wasn't it?
One.
That's outstanding. So what is next for DollarShaveClub.com? I mean, is the focus more on expanding the reach and expanding the customer base, or are there some new products in development? Where do you go from here?
Got some great products in development. You know, our goal right now is to, you know, we believe that men want to take care of themselves in the bathroom. They to be successful, they're paying more attention to the things they put on their bodies to keep themselves clean, to keep themselves, you know, protect themselves from the elements, and to, you know, slow the aging process, etc. And you know, DSC wants to be the easiest place to get those things that you use every day in the bathroom. To make yourself successful, and we're doing that through, you know, we're making great products, we're creating an ever more seamless digital experience and technical experience, and that's what the next couple of years are going to be all about.
Well, that's outstanding. I will provide you kudos on the experience itself. It is so easy. I get my monthly email and says, "Hey, this is what you're scheduled to get. Click here if you want some additional stuff." I mean, it really is a very, very seamless and easy process, and I commend you for that. I want to ask you about future products, as I'm not going to put you on the spot and make you divulge information that maybe you're not ready to divulge. But I wouldn't have thought butt wipes would have been the next big product out of Dollar Shave Club. That did take me by surprise. Was that just because there's nothing like that out there, or was the goal there to continue the edginess of what the company represents and what you're all about?
Yeah, so you weren't alone in your surprise for sure. Butt wipes. First of all, people underestimate the power of butt wipes. I've been using them for years, and you know, so are 51% of guys using them somewhat regularly. You know, it's a better way to wipe. It's a cleaner way to wipe. It's a faster way to wipe, and I believe it really does improve the quality of life in the bathroom and outside of it. As we like to say in the office, great things happen when your ass smells fantastic. So you know, we had a strong belief in the product and its use and its ability to make life better in and out, inside the bathroom and outside the bathroom. And you know, it also was a bold statement for us to make to the marketplace and say, you know what, we want to service your face, your ass, and everything in between. So good way to signal to the marketplace that this is where we're going, and that you should think about Dollar Shave Club every time you go into the bathroom.
Well, let me just say, there's really nowhere else I can go with this conversation after that last exchange. So, Mike, God, it was really exciting to connect with you. I really appreciate you carving out a few minutes to do that. Once again, before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you and get more information on DollarShaveClub.com?
Head over to DollarShaveClub.com. You know, if there's an email address that if you need to get in touch with anybody, you can feel free to email me, Mike@DollarShaveClub.com. Yeah, we love to hear from our members and answer any questions.
All right. Mike Dubin, the founder and CEO of DollarShaveClub.com. Mike, it was a real pleasure to connect. Thanks again for joining me on a lovely Saturday afternoon.
You got it, Todd.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. This will probably be the final Intrepid Radio episode before the holidays. So happy Christmas and have a great new year. On behalf of my guest, Mike Dubin, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Radio. What you want? What you want? You've been listening to Intrepid Radio, hosted by me, Todd Schnick. You can find the show at intrepidradioshow.com. If you enjoyed the broadcast, kindly leave a rating and review on iTunes. Until next time, stay bold, and I'll see you soon on the Intrepid Radio Show.